Special day here on the Audible. Not only is it Monday, the day after Father's Day, and by the way, I hope you all had a happy Father's Day, all you fathers out there, and some of your mothers that think you're fathers. I hope you had a happy Father's Day out there. Joining me, one of the top radio personalities. We got people from all over. We got people in London. We got people all over the world, and people down here in South Florida. If you're out of our marketplace, Paul Castronovo, one of the biggest names in radio down here in South Florida. Paul Castronovo, showing big 105.9. So you could catch him there if you're in the market, or they could catch you on the internet, right?
Yeah, I'm on the internet, iHeartRadio, the Paul Castronovo Show, Big 105.9, and it used to be Paul and Young Ron. I had my radio partner.
And you got rid
killed.
Of Young Ron.
I had him killed.
Young Ron got too old to be Young Ron anymore.
I think he's sitting on the couch with his feet up.
Hey, have you talked to him?
I texted him. I called, but I don't know where he is.
All right. Well.
I think. Listen, I'll say this: we did our show for 26 years.
Yeah.
The Beatles only lasted 10.
So you got the Beatles beat by...
My wife
so
and
you
I,
must have as much money as the Beatles then.
Yeah, that's what we're
just
doing.
Just about.
My wife and I were married. We're married 20 years. Yeah. So, I mean, I knew him a long time. So maybe we're taking a rest.
There you go.
And then we'll get back together sometime.
Paul, I thought we'd come on and have you talk. You know, we talk about a lot of guys inside the organization about the Dolphins. And I thought I'd bring you out here. And because you've been around this community for a long, long time. You've seen the ups and downs of the Dolphins. You've seen the Dolphins in their glory days. You saw the Dolphins and, you know, someone, and you've seen this last decade where it's been a struggle for the Dolphins. And now it seems things seem to be turning around for this franchise. I think Adam Gase coming in here doing a good job and really changed things. But when you talk to people on the radio, the feeling that you get out the community that comes through your airwaves, what do you feel from the fans out there about this Dolphin football
team?
They're
always asking me, like, oh, what do you think of the new guy? Right. What do you need? And I can only go back to... Well, I know Pouncey a little bit, and I know Anthony Fasano's an old friend. And these guys, they don't BS me.
Yeah.
They love him.
Yeah.
They love Adam Gase. And it's there's something about him. And I think it's refreshing when a coach says, yeah, I screwed up. I think there was a story last week about Cameron Wake. And he's like, yeah, I really blew that one. I mean, boy, most coaches I've met over the years, and I've met every one of them.
Yeah.
I mean, the first time I saw Coach Shula, I'm sure you have that experience. I'm a young broadcaster, and I'm like, I'm going to go out to Dolphin training camp. And I remember I got the press credential and everything. I'm wearing like a tank top. Yeah. You know, Coach Shula gave me one of these with that jaw. And I think I wet myself just a little bit. I mean, I was scared stiff. So and I've seen all, you know, Cameron, Cam Carew, Coach. I remember
Cam
he was
Cameron,
like,
yeah.
he was like, hi, timid guys. And then, you know, Jimmy Johnson was always pretty cool with me. And Dave Wanstead was one of the nicest guys ever. But then Nick Saban was like,
Nick was tough, man.
Am I allowed to say stuff on the
Nick
the show?
So when you're a Gator too, now not only did you have him here and you were a little put off by him, as most people were, I certainly was put off by him. But now he's coaching at Alabama and I would say he's doing a pretty fair job up there at Alabama.
There are levels of hatred
for Gators.
I have for that man.
Halls of Florida Gators. So he's had to deal with that SEC and Nick Saban.
But anyway, back to Coach, you know, I mean, so after meeting all these guys over the years, he seems like a regular dude.
Yeah.
In fact, I was at your restaurant, Boat Campers and Plantation. Got the plug in. And he gave me like $100 to say that. And anyway, they were having some event. And I remember, I go, that's Coach Gase?
Yeah.
And I thought he was like a fraternity dude.
Well, you know, he's what's he, 37, 38 years old.
It's amazing to me.
He's a young guy. And you know what? He relates to these guys. You know, they're all... You know, this is the millennial. Is that what they call them, the millennials now?
I work with a few of them.
This generation, and so it's a different thing. But you know, you got a coach in there now. I think that it's of the age group and of the generation. He relates with these guys, relates with them on a different level. And you know, the game has changed. You know, you can't go. There's no, you know, the old Vince Lombardi's, Paul Brown, Don Shula's, you know, Chuck Knowles, guys like that that were, you know, tough, hard-nosed coaches that really didn't give you a quarter and you know, expected everything out of you. They had to punish you, whether they had to yell at you. Now it's become more of a motivational thing. It's more about trying to deal with them. Make them comfortable so that they can play at their peak performance.
But there's not one of those things where if we get too close, you become a friend with the guy. How can you cut him? How can you be his friend?
Well, there's some of that. But, I mean, you take a look at Adam Gase last year. Week one, he leaves Jay Ajayi home from Seattle because he was pouting because he wasn't the starter.
It's true.
A couple weeks later, he's got Dallas Thomas and the other guard who played poorly and gets rid of them the next day.
Yet those guys are still playing for him at a high level.
So I mean, you know, he's been able to he's been able to walk the fine line of being a player's coach, but also be a disciplinarian along the way, because you've got to be, you've got to have some discipline, or else it's not gonna work in this league.
And but these guys coming
he's been
out
able
of,
to balance that.
So most guy, you know, any guy going to the NFL is coming out of college. He's been a, you know, coddled and yep. taken care of. But is it a session? You know, you get back to the NFL for the first time, you go down a notch.
Well, you know, you quite frankly, you come out and
it's like you're a freshman
well,
again.
Well, I'll give you a good guy. The Dolphins drafted this guard from Utah, Isaac Asiata. You know, nice guy, real speaks well, big, strong Samoan kid.
I know that guy. Yeah, I saw him.
You know, he's one of the top off. I think he won the top offensive lineman for the Pac-12 out there. You know, so I mean, he's a good player, and all of a sudden he comes here, and I know Todd listening to him probably he's out. You know, I'm a physical guy. I'm going to go out and do this. I'm going to go out and do that. And then after 2 days of practice against the veterans in the OTAs, I remember talking. I go, "How's it going?" I goes, "Man, it's tough out there. I'm struggling a little bit." Well, because of the level of play, the guys are just that much better. And now you've got the chore of these rookies now is to find a way between now and the time training camp starts to get themselves up to where they can compete at that level. Now they know what to expect a little bit because they haven't put pads on. Then comes the next test, and you got to figure out a way to. You got to jump on the cream and try to rise to the top.
And there's always some guy that everybody falls in love with.
Yep.
I was like 20 years ago. I don't know. There was some kid who came in. He was a linebacker, and one of the reporters got a story out of him that a bear came up to him and he screamed in the bear's face, and everybody's rooting
there's
for the.
Always those stories. Yeah.
And then the guy disappears. You never see him again. Like, who is this guy?
We had a guy when I came in. I was drafted back when I was drafted. So I had 17 rounds in the draft, right?
Yeah.
And so we had a kid got drafted. His name was Don Testerman. I'll never forget his name. I forget where he's from, but he was from Middle Tennessee or one of these schools like that. And his claim to fame, he was a linebacker. No, he was a fullback. His claim to fame was that his brother hit him square in the forehead with an axe.
Was it true? No, true. Really?
Walked away. The axe was still stuck in his head. And they yanked it out, and he ended up, you know,
sign that
getting
guy.
Drafted.
We'll take him.
So you would think if that guy can survive an accident.
Hey, we want him in our locker room.
But I'll put it this way. He only lasted a week during the Don Shula training camp, and he was out.
We were sitting around, and we had a lacrosse tournament All Father's Day weekend. And I remember sitting in the heat, and you know, my son's playing a game. I was sitting in a stupid chair, and I literally was dying.
Yeah.
And I remember going back to when I played high school football down here, and they wouldn't let us have water.
Yeah.
But either way.
Salt pills.
Yeah, then we took the salt, took big salt handfuls pills, of salt. Yeah. But I mean, did they do that still? They take salt pills?
No, none of that happened.
Just don't. The level of heat. I know we got the indoor practice facility, but they don't want them in that as much.
No, well, Coach Gaze, you know, he's an advocate of keeping them outside as much as they can, unless there's lightning. Thunder and lightning. He'll keep them out there, which I think if you're going to play in this climate, you should practice in this climate.
I'm kind of pissed about our September schedule because that's when most of our games are on the road.
We're here at Tampa for the first game. Right. Go out to L.A. the next week, I believe it is. Then New York and then London.
We don't get that home field advantage in September that is sometimes is an edge for us. Yeah. And, you know, even though I hate sitting in that heat –
Well, it's not so bad now.
With the shade. Yeah, no, yeah, that's awesome. Shade, yeah, you're nice. Right. That's a big difference.
Yeah, big difference.
I've seen games where they were just carrying people out. Absolutely brutal. And after 19 beers, this, you know, it gets a little hot.
Well, the good thing about the stadium now, Hard Rock Stadium, is that, you know, that, and it took me a couple games to notice this. I noticed in particular when they were playing Pittsburgh, the guys were throwing up in the end zone. If you look at the stadium, they say 93% of the seats are covered
in
by
shade.
In the shade.
By the way, we got the throw-up guy.
Part of the 7% that aren't in the shade is the visitors' bench.
Oh, nice! Was that by design?
I don't know.
The engineer needs a raise.
I don't know, but it just so happens that the sun beats down on their
fantastic.
Bench.
That's excellent.
Meanwhile, the Dolphins' bench is in the shade. So.
I just love the fact that we're talking football. This is a weird time of year.
It is.
You know, baseball. You know, in this town now, I grew up a baseball fan.
Yeah, I love baseball.
It's tough. So
I love baseball, but as long as the ownership, that ownership owns the team, they'll never get a dime out of
it. I know,
I
know. So the heat season's dead in the water. Basketball's done. Hockey's done, I think, right?
Hockey's done. Yeah.
I know. And then we sit there, and my friends were like, what do we do?
Yeah.
And you know, this is fishing time of year, and then it gets us to – Shark Week, Discovery Channel, and then lobster season.
And then the end of July, and then training camp starts happening. Then you're happy.
Start reading the sports pages. It's like, all right, we got something to talk about.
The good thing is now when you flip through, whether you're watching SportsCenter or NFL Network, Network's a different thing, but any of these different sports things, you're starting to see a lot more football now because it's right around the corner. And you know those TVs, those networks can't wait to get the football.
They're dying for it.
There's more football they get on, the better they like
it. That was a chicken wing, was it not?
You did.
It's got a wing.
Let's go ahead and take some phone calls. What do you say, Paul?
Take some questions. If there's phone calls,
Periscope
I need to
go. Question.
All right, what do you got?
Paul, who's your favorite player on the team? First of all, let's go back a little bit and say, since you've been down here and been around the team, who's your favorite all-time Dolphin player?
It's Marino. Yeah. I mean, there's no question. Being an Italian guy, we all love him to death. Yeah. And getting to know him over the years, I mean, he's just a great dude. And and you're one of my favorite players too, Cam. No, but I mean, it's just not even close. I'll say this.
The first time I met you, you played for the Dolphins?
No, baloney. Zonka, for years, when I first got here,
fabulous.
He was a battering ram and a tough guy, and I just loved everything about him. And, he had those fishing TV shows.
That was awesome.
But Marino, over the years. And then currently, having a favorite player, I love the fact that Fasano is back.
Yeah.
I liked it. Like, Zach was my favorite guy for many years. And
it's funny. All the guys that you mentioned are real guys.
Yeah,
they're football
players.
It's
people players, that I get to know.
But one of the reasons you get to know them is because they're willing to let you know. And they're not, where some guys kind of hole up. They don't want to be around people. They've got a kind of standoffish thing. But the guys that you mentioned, they're guys who are out and about. They don't change their lifestyle for that. They go out and they deal with people and they do the right thing.
I love that. It's tough. Meeting some of the younger guys. It's not as easy as it was. Maybe because they look at me like, "Hey, Dad."
They're not. Not for none, but they're probably not listening to your show in the morning.
How dear! They're all dead to me.
Blasphemy!
What? Jay Ajayi, by the way.
I didn't mean to throw vitriol.
No, that was good. I love that. It's true. That's a real.
No, but I mean their age group. They're listening to that. Whatever.
They're sleeping.
These guys aren't sleeping. They're here at.
Oh, that's how
they get in. About seven in the morning. These guys are here.
Yeah.
I think we used to roll in about 9:30, and I used to piss and moan about having to wake up and go to work that early.
You know what players I like? I like the ones that are willing to call in our show every now and then. I like you. Kiko Alonso, good friend.
Zonk, my favorite. Zonk was one of, I had a chance to play with Zonk the 1 year he came back. He had gone to the Giants.
I remember that,
He had gone to the WFL, him and Jimmy Kick and Paul Warfield. Then he went to the Giants, and then he came back here and played for a year. And I had the chance to play with him. And I I'd grown up, I became a Dolphin fan when I was in high school during the 72 season. And so for me to be able to play with Larry Zonka, it was a thrill just to meet him and then to have the opportunity to play with him. And so we're playing a game in the old Orange Bowl, muddy game, muddy day, a lot of mud in the field. So I put the longest cleats I could put on for the game. We're going through pregame warmups and we just kind of do like a walkthrough, go through, just assignments and stuff like that. Coach, you always call them perfect plays, 10 perfect plays. And so I come in, and Larry's, back there. And so I come blitzing, and I stepped on his toe. And he goes, "God damn it, you broke my freaking toe." And I go, "Yeah, I didn't break your toe."
He probably didn't say freaking.
So I get back. No, he didn't. So I get back in the line. We come and meet again the next time we come through. I run up, he kind of steps, he goes, "Man, you broke my goddamn toe." I said, "I didn't break your toe." And so, he keeps, I said, Larry, look, leave me alone. I didn't break your toe. I'm trying to be in my zone.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get myself ready.
He was the legend and you were just your first year?
He was 79. So it was my third year.
Okay. So you
But I mean, when I played, I kind of got focused in on what I had to do. And so we go in the locker room. He walks by, he goes, "Man, you broke my toe." I said, "Larry, leave me alone. I got a game to play. Leave me alone. I didn't break your toe." Now, he never had a doctor look at it, never took his shoe off, nothing. Goes out and plays the game and runs for about 125 yards.
With a broken toe.
At the end of the game, I'm sitting in my locker. He walks over with his shoe off. He goes, "Look at my toe." His toe was about the size of a tomato.
It was broken?
It was broken.
Oh, my God.
I broke his toe. He didn't go see a trainer.
Did you buy him a steak dinner?
No, I didn't do anything. I said, "Hey, sorry."
To this day, does he remind you of it?
Now it's not over now.
Oh.
So you know how like you do something like that, or you get your... use your thumb stuck in a doorknob. All of a sudden that blood gets in there and your nail gets... So The one day, it must have been Wednesday the next week, he goes, man, this toe's killing me. He goes, I got all this pressure in there and stuff. So the next day he comes in, I go, how's that toe? He goes, that's all better. What do you mean it's all better? He goes, it's better. I go, how could it be better? He goes, I got tired of it being so much pressure in there. So I went out my garage, I got my Black & Decker, yeah, put a drill bit in it, drilled through his toenail. He goes, all the stuff came spurting out. He goes, I pressed it all out. Good as new. That's tough son of a bitch.
And that's
right
a
there.
True friggin' story. I wouldn't doubt.
No. That's a true story. And that's you want to talk about a tough son of a bitch. That guy was
hard nosed.
Did they call him any Dykstra nails?
Google Larry Zonka and see what that after the show. That guy could play.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy. It was really one of the great
highlights. Favorite players, there you go.
Light in the Dome. Paul, notice the shirt. What do you do for Finn's weekend?
You like that?
Where's Finn's weekend? He is Finn's weekend.
Jeff Peck, myself.
You might talk about the weekend and think he's some hip-hop guy, but that's the weekend right there.
Finn's weekend, now our 21st year. We do fishing and golf, and Nat Moore handles the golf portion of that. And Jeff Peck, Stan Rudman, Rob Conrad, and myself, and I'm co-chair. And there's a team of so many people, but... It's the greatest thing.
How many boats you have got this year?
It was tough this year. It was really, really rough.
Yeah,
we had like 50 something boats, but
what's about?
I would say 30 of them fished.
Normally, is that about what you have?
We've had 80. 80 is a good number for us, you know. But I'll tell you, it's difficult. Like Pompano Beach Fishing Rodeo this year only had like 23 boats.
Oh, really?
And that's been around for 100 years. Yeah. But it was 6 to 8 foot seas. Yeah. It was really tough.
Yeah.
We moved the whole thing to Rickenbacker Marina this year, and. We had a wonderful time.
Yeah, it was nice.
You were in the tent.
The tent was beautiful. The whole setup was nice out there.
We caught the largest dolphin, 20-pound mahi mahi. People go, dolphin, you killed a porpoise. No, mahi mahi. Anthony Fasano got it. Now, he left before the trophy presentation, and I'm holding the first place trophy. I say the trophy's mine.
It's yours.
I was on my boat. He left. He didn't help me clean the boat.
Your boat. He left it dirty, and you're holding it. Then I think
I get the trophy.
You got a picture with it in your hands.
I have the trophy.
Okay.
I have a picture of him with the fish. But I ate the fish, so I win.
So Finn's weekend. Look, if you guys want to get involved in Finn's weekend, well, it's usually June?
It's every May. It's usually we have to wait for the coach.
End of May?
You know, it's not Mother's Day weekend.
Yeah.
So, like, it's coach tells us whenever it's going to be.
Right, yeah.
So it has to do with practice of the players. But it's always a one-day tournament. The best part is the party on a Friday night.
That's fabulous.
And we roll it out, and the team's all there, and everybody's having a good old time. And you know, you were there, and Danny was there.
Yeah,
and
everybody.
Jason Taylor shows up.
Everybody was there.
The only person I can't get in there is Zach. He won't get anywhere near a boat.
Well, I'm not a big boater either.
I'll go
to the party in the tent.
But, I mean, if you're a fisherman or a boater and you want to, and the money goes to charity.
Yeah, or play golf. I mean,
golf sells out like that.
It's a great cause. And it's really, look, I would say this. If you want to go to a dolphin event and see as many people as you can see from a standpoint of players, other local celebrities in town, all those kind of things. That's the place to go and do it.
And one of the best things is you go to the weigh-in in the afternoon of the fishing tournament. Yeah. Everybody kind of sits around and cocktails are going, and the boats pull up, and you guys will throw on giant fish in the dock, and the cheerleaders are out there, and the Hooters girls are out there. It's really a beautiful sight.
At Beats by Trey. Paul, what has been your favorite all-time dolphin moment? There's Beats by Trey right there. See him?
Okay. Yes. My all-time favorite moment. You know, I think it was that everybody says they were there, but I was at that game on Monday night.
The Chicago Bears
game. And that was it was one of those things. You just, if you were there, we came back. We protected the perfect season. Yep. It was just a tremendous.
That may have been the most electric stadium I've ever walked into.
That's what I remember,
I mean, it was that stadium.
I remember where I was sitting. I mean, stuff
like
that. It
was like buzzing, you know. It was...
But I also remember at Brian Cox, and I was at that game too, when he walked out and the entire Cincinnati Bengals bench, and he just walked out there and said, let's go. It was one of the – I just thought, the whole team just rallied around Brian.
Brian was a unique guy.
Well, his son's playing in the NFL now.
Yeah,
he got drafted.
And he's coaching, and Brian's coaching.
Yep.
Which surprised me, but he's been coaching for a long time. And everyone I talk to that coaches on part of their staffs – always talk about how good. But I remember him walking over to the Bengals sideline and just calling every one of them out.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, you couldn't get away with that
No.
Someone pulled that stunt now, I don't know what would happen. But the league, the NFL, the No Fun League, as we jokingly call them sometimes, would everybody get penalties. Although they're going to let them have fun this year.
Yeah, let them dance in the end zone now.
It must be a ratings issue.
Well, I think they just got tired of people saying, hey, it's no fun. So
yeah.
In fact, I read an article.
Can we do snow angels?
They can do
a snow angel. Yes.
I read an article last week where they said that the reason they're doing it is because they want to reach to the millennials and try to get them to kind of get back involved a little bit.
Well, it's funny. You talk about millennials. I have one son who's out of the house. He's 25 years old, and I go, "Where are you gonna watch the game?" He doesn't have TV.
Oh, no.
And like the cord cutters, I'm like, you don't have TV? He goes, well, I got Netflix and stuff. I go, what if you want to watch the game? He goes, I go to a bar, which is good news for you.
That's good for me, yeah. more of those millennials we can get with, the better we like. Let me see. Julie Marr Ortiz, Bo, what do you look for in a linebacker? Well, I look for a guy that can move his feet. I look for a guy that has good lateral movement. You look for guys that bend their knees, bend their hips, and play. And you look for a guy that can deliver a blow. I think that's it. And I look at the Dolphins this year with Raekwon McMillan, the kid they got at Ohio State. Now you got Lawrence Timmons, a kid from Florida State that went through Pittsburgh, came in. Kiko Alonso, who played extremely well for the Dolphins.
Let me ask you about linebackers, because over the years I've always been surprised. Mm-hmm. I mean, watching the linebackers play as tough as they play, everyone I've ever met, they're not that big a guy.
No. Well, Kiko's not a big guy.
No.
Zach wasn't a big guy.
It's true.
But,
they play big.
But they play big and they play smart. You're either going to be one or two things. You're going to be a smart player that understands angles and leverage and all those types of things and reads formations and tries to diagnose the play before and maybe cheat a little bit and get yourself in a position. Or you're going to be a guy that just can go out there and play and that's a badass that can hit and it can stand up guys and
Zach was a
James
hitter.
James Harrison up in Pittsburgh. He's exact opposite of a guy like Zach Thomas and
he's a monster.
Alonso.
Yeah.
Well, he's just a big, strong.
Yeah. Well, don't get me wrong. Sometimes you see these guys with the neck.
Oh,
Zach was all neck at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
You see Zach now though, man.
He's
ripped.
Now.
He's lean, and it's amazing.
Yeah. Well, look. I mean,
who's your favorite player?
In the Dolphins?
Did you ever? Yeah. I mean, like, who do you like? You can't say that. You're a member of the media.
No, look, I was a big Jimmy Kick fan back there.
I like Jimmy Kick. Yeah.
And Jim has become a very good friend of mine, so that's
yeah,
that
has something
thing.
To do with it, yeah.
I liked all those. Probably the player I liked the best here post my career, when I was just started doing broadcasting stuff, I love Devon Bess, man. I used to love Devon Bess.
I never got to know him.
He was a good guy, but I liked the way he went out about his business. I'd watch him at practice, and every time he ran a route, you could tell he had something in his mind he was working on. He wasn't just going through the motion, and I liked that. And he was
the fans loved him.
And he was a gritty guy on the field. He'd make tough catches and do all those things. I know he's having his troubles now, but he was one of my favorite players.
What bugs me, and maybe you could tell me, and I know we talk about this stuff on my show, Kim, but it's like the sports writers, the ESPN guys, the experts, the Vegas guys, when they say the Dolphins 8 wins, and
they don't know. They don't know.
Then why do they say that? It makes me crazy because I'm looking forward to a season like we played last year.
They're not here, so I really think this team. You got to be around this team to feel what's going on, and to hear from players what they think about what's going on. What they are is, if it's a guy's a Los Angeles writer.
Mm-hmm.
He don't know what's going on here. He just look, they've been bad for a number of years.
Last year they got lucky.
Look at their stats.
But they didn't get lucky. Our quarterback got hurt at the end of the year.
A lot of them look at the stats and just they go by the stats. Because I think the Dolphins last year were 38th against the run. Or, 30 and 28th against whatever. They were poor defensive numbers, yet they made some of the biggest – they made a lot of big plays. That's what helped them out. But again, you look at the bottom line, 10-6 is 10-6. I don't care how you got there.
And didn't we start out –
they're not giving games. We started out 1-4.
Yeah, I mean, so it could have been a lot different.
Yeah, yeah. El Chapo, one of our favorite guys.
I didn't know he was around. That's good.
He digs out of the hole. He comes out of the hole.
Big fan.
He rides that little motorcycle in, and then he gets to the gets
makes
the
a quick call, gets
down.
On you.
Yeah. How long have you two known each other, and how did you first meet? I don't know how we first met, but I've known you for, I've known you for 15 years or so.
Yeah,
maybe more
I mean, obviously we know both from playing for all these years, but I think just being around the Dolphins and the team and.
Our paths just cross a lot of different ways. I've been on his show a number of times.
I love when Kim comes on our radio show. He takes over, and we just crack up. We talk about restaurants and stupid stuff. We really get to the Dolphins. It's like a football Friday with Bo Camper.
It's always, I always get the call from, hey, you want to come in and talk some Dolphin football tomorrow? Well, yeah, come in. And then I walk out the door. I go, we didn't say anything about the Dolphins.
Well, the game's at 4 o'clock tomorrow. Well, that's okay. I mean, that's what we get caught up in being friends, and I think that's the beauty of what we do on the radio. We just shoot the crap like this.
That's the way
I love the questions. So it also
FinFan Bo, after all the OTAs and mini camp, what are your areas of concern? My biggest area of concern is probably, and I say this is the biggest area of my concern, it's not a big concern to me, is just filling those guard positions. And in addition to that, the health of Mike Pouncey.
I was just going to say,
Those are the two things. Because I think they're all right with Bushrod on the right side. They need to fill that left side. But if Mike Pouncey's not there, then it weakens both of those positions, both guard positions.
Well, what do you know?
As well as the center position. They're taking it very easy on Mike. He didn't do anything during OTAs. He didn't do anything during minicamp. He's off crutches.
Oh, okay.
No, walking without crutches. But they're going to be
cautious
with him through training. Now, it's a fine line. You want to be cautious so he doesn't get hurt, but he's got to get some work out there where he can be ready when the regular season starts. You know, they're going to try to do everything they can to get, if they can get 14 to 16 games out of him, then that's the key to that whole line.
It is.
Well, there's a
monster.
If there's two keys to the Dolphin offense, it's the two guys that touch the ball most, him and Ryan Tannehill.
And Tannehill's a big question for, the fans.
Everybody.
Like, you see flashes of insane brilliance. You know that Coach Gase is the quarterback whisperer. Yeah, I don't know is Ryan Tannehill an elite quarterback? We all want him to be. He's got the athletic skills. Well, he's got that arm. He can run.
This is the year you see if he can get it into that category. I think he's a top 15 guy. And I think he's got the ability to probably get up to 10 or 11, 12, somewhere around there.
And there are guys like that that end up in Super Bowls.
He's got a great group of receivers.
Yeah.
He's got three good running backs. He's got a good offensive line and got great wide receivers. So
put up or let's.
Yeah, well, it's kind of that type of thing, I think, right now. But that's the area of my concern. The middle of that offensive line, Pouncey's health, and what's going to happen at that left guard position. That's really it. Other than that, I'm pretty happy. You got a ton of corners. You got some good safeties in here. They revamped their linebacker core, and they've done a good job. I think this kid, Charles Harris, so far has really turned out to be a pretty interesting. Hey, one thing I got to get to before that, Jason Taylor, we all know one of the Dolphin all-time greats, going into the Hall of Fame, and congratulations to him. Well-deserved. First ballot Hall of Famer. Jimmy Johnson's going to present him at in Canton this year. I think it's July, probably, what is that, probably first week of August? About the first week of August.
And was that, I guess those were his best years, playing under Jimmy?
Well, Jimmy drafted him.
Yeah, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Makes sense. And he's...
I know he loved Nick Saban.
He loved Nick Saban, too.
Dolphin fans would never have allowed Nick Saban to injure him. They would have lost their minds. Do you know the story of how I pissed Jason off? And he's forgiven me. But when he went to the Jets...
Yeah.
We
burned his jersey.
I didn't burn it. See, this is what gets me in trouble. So we took his jersey and we said, I forgot how we got it at the radio station.
Yeah.
And we put it in a time capsule and we said, until you're no longer a Jet, because I just couldn't take it. I hate the friggin' Jets like nobody's business. We buried it underground at the radio station. Yeah. Well, somehow he thought we burned it, whatever. And word got back to him. And then when he came back to the team, I'm like, hey, we forgive. Yeah. We unveiled it. So we won the Miami Dolphin fishing tournament and I got a chance to fly on a team plane. And he sat behind me, and he didn't say a word the whole time. And I was dying. I thought he was going
to
kill me.
You didn't bother turning around and saying something?
I did. He just gave me the head nod. It was not my proudest moment. About a year later, I invited him in the studio. We hashed it out on the radio, and he's like, "You know what? I get it."
Yeah.
He goes, "I get it now." He goes, "It wasn't personal towards me. It was."
Yeah, all the vitriol he threw out at the Jets while he was playing with the Dolphins.
That's what he came back and said.
He was one of the guys who wasn't shy at all about throwing dirt on them.
And then he went to the Jets, and we were just having fun. He goes, "I know." He goes, "Look, I get it." He goes, "It was your job to do that." And I think burning the jersey might have been a little Jason, I never burned the jersey, and I'm so proud of you. I thought it was really cool. We got around. When they came to him and told him he's in the hotel room,
that was touching as heck.
Yeah, I really good, saw yeah. that. It was great. I love to see a humble moment like that.
These guys back there were in there with him.
They were?
Yeah, the guys were all back there videoing and whatnot. Periscope question. How do we make Hard Rock Stadium as loud as the OB with the canopy? I tell you what, that stadium last year with that canopy was loud.
It was loud at U2 the other night.
Yeah.
I don't know if you had.
Oh, were you over there for that?
Oh, my God. It was unbelievable.
I think the way they – because I know talking to people in the organization, they brought sound engineers in there to figure out how to keep the sound in.
Bringing the stands closer to the field,
the canopies in there.
Yeah,
all of that all does.
The Orange Bowl seemed like it was straight up and down.
Yeah, but
right on top of it.
Look, the Orange Bowl and those old stadiums that were built out of metal. Gator Bowls like that, right?
Yeah.
So you know those old stadiums with the metal where you can pound on them.
Yeah,
and sound reverberates through there and everything.
It's a deader sound now. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's a good point. But
it's good now.
I miss that loud. You know, teams like this. And
I was down on the field for every game last year, the first time with that canopy, and it's certainly as loud. It's as loud as I've heard that building ever. That building be. And there when they get down the end zone. Remember when they're playing the 49ers. Kaepernick, end of the game. He looks like he's running in the end zone. Dominic Sue grabs him by the ankle and Kiko drills him.
You
couldn't hear yourself think in that building. So, I mean, if you look, this team wins the way they won games last year. You're not going to be able to hear yourself in that building, which is, I think, exactly what
creating a fun atmosphere. Listen, there were times, you know, we had this suite for a couple of years, and we remember it was the Castronovo Vineyards, Anthony's Runway 84 suite. And there were times when it was so bad, the games were so boring that we were like, oh, man, we just sat there for three quarters, didn't watch anything.
Yeah.
That wasn't the case this year.
No, it was some great games. Some good stuff.
Yeah, it was good, exciting, edge of your seat football. Yeah. And that's kind of the way the Dolphins should be. We needed that. I think we've got a running game. We got receivers. You know, we like to score. That's what it is.
Paulie, why don't you tell everyone how they can where they can hear you?
Oh, every morning when you're driving into work and you're stuck in this stupid, you know, car, you tune in to 105.9, and I'm there for 27 years now. So, I mean, what more do you need?
Yeah.
And then you can listen on iHeartRadio, Paul Castronovo Show, Big 105.9. Other than that, I don't care. No, kidding. I really love it. It's been a wonderful career. I never knew I'd go that long.
You got some new...
Yeah, I got a girl in there now. Cute girl replaced Ron, right? Yeah. Right. And you got Sharp-Dressed John, or what do you call him? Well-dressed
decently
Willie.
Decently dressed Dan these days. He looks a little sloppy in there.
He announced the day
after. Gomez, your producer.
Diaz.
Oh, Diaz.
anyway, announced he's having a kid.
He is.
Yeah, he's going to have
a kid. Diaz is having a kid.
No, sharp-dressed Willie.
Sharp-dressed
John. You got me. He told us today on the radio he's going to have a baby. So that was a pretty big Father's Day announcement for him. And
good.
Yeah, we have a good crew and have a lot of laughs.
Paulie, appreciate you coming in, man. Good stuff. We'll have you
best
back.
Best tuna wontons you ever had.
There you go.
Bo
there
campers.
You go. Wednesday, Alan Poupart will join us. We'll be here a little early start, 3:30 on Wednesday. Getting things done early and out early. I like that. Paul Castronovo, Kim Bo Camper. This has been The Audible. We'll catch you next time. See you Wednesday.
Thanks.